You know, this morning, I'm thankful that Brother Dushko found this song 206 that says, "How blessed are we whom God doth love and of our wants is heedful, who as our Father from above doth grant all that is needful. What need we more, since we have for a Father the great giver of all good gifts forever?" And then the last verse says, "He loveth us that is enough to gladden us forever. He loveth us that is enough, for he is faithful ever. As children, may we day by day to him while we are living unceasingly be giving." I thought about this song as we sang it, and I think it goes well with what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning to speak about. Before we look into God's word and have the prayer, I would like to pose the question. Maybe you can think in your life, maybe not now, and maybe some of you are going through a time when God is silent. I want you to think about that. Think about a time in your life, and it may be now that you're going through this season when God is silent. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your house of worship, to hear your words, to sing praises to your name, to be uplifted, Lord, but in all to glorify you in all that you have done. Lord, as we listen to your words and we read the words from your words that are penned down in this book, we ask and pray, Lord, that it may be embedded upon the table of our hearts. And Heavenly Father, that the things that we do and say may be from the abundance of our hearts that would honor you and glorify you. Father in heaven, as we open your word and we read through your scripture, times, Lord, within our lives that you are not there, that you are silent, ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that you would encourage us, uplift us, help us, Heavenly Father, to trust in you and put our faith in you, knowing that in all things you will provide. Heavenly Father, perhaps not what we want, but what's needful for us, and only you know. Bless us today, Lord. Be with us today. We invite thee to be here. Speak through us, speak to us, and all in this day, Lord, that would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there are two supporting scriptures that, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to read and that maybe we can meditate upon. The first one is found in 1 Kings chapter 19. Turn with me there, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. A very well known portion of scripture, perhaps one that we haven't maybe read recently, and it would be a good reminder for us. And as we read these portions of scripture, and as we think about this, again, think about your life when God was silent. What did you do? How did you feel? And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than any of my fathers." And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking with coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because thy journey is too great for thee." And he arose, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb on the mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, and the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in entering in the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain the prophets with a sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I'd like to end this portion of scripture. Think about this. Here's a man, prophet of God, who just slain 400 prophets of Jezebel. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Here's a man that had this victorious event. If we read the scripture prior in Kings, the 18th chapter, we can read where there was a battle of the gods, if you will. And Elijah told the other prophets that were there, there was two altars that were built, and they were trying to bring fire, and he did it like a competition. He challenged them. And we know that as these prophets of Baal were calling and screaming upon their God to set fire upon this altar, and they were cutting themselves up and yelling and screaming, there was no fire. But then when Elijah set up the altar that was spoken, and he had them put three times, he had them douse this altar with water so that there was a big gulf, or there was a trough around this altar. And when Elijah called upon God, God sent fire, and it consumed the water and the altar and everything else. And following that, Elijah had the 400 prophets of Baal arrested or confined, and he went and slew 400 men. That's the previous chapter. And then we get into this chapter. In this chapter, Elijah hears that now Jezebel now is looking for his life and wants to take his life. Interesting. Here's a man that just took the life of 400 men and had no problem with it, because we know this was commanded, that now one woman, he's afraid that she's going to take his life, and he flees. And he flees to this mountain, to this cave. And God asks him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah wanted to have this conversation with God. And when he stood at the cave entrance of the cave, he's looking for God. And God wasn't there. God wasn't in the wind. God wasn't in the fire. and God wasn't in the earthquake. At that particular point in time, God was silent. Can you think about a time in your life that God was silent? The circumstances may be different, but still, you were looking, and I was looking for an answer from God. Maybe there wasn't somebody that was out there willing to take my life or to kill me. But in our lives, typically there are three issues we face in life. The first issue is a relational issue. So we could have a problem with a relationship, right? Maybe it's an issue that we're having a problem with our spouse. Maybe we're having a problem with our children. Maybe we're having a problem with trying to find a helpmeet in life, whether it would be a sister or a brother. And we go to the Lord in prayer, and we ask of him, and he's silent. Another issue of life we face is physical. Our physical health. Perhaps there's a time in our lives where we are not doing well. In the last couple of years with COVID and the after effects, we know that there are many people that have lost their lives, or God has called them home. And those that are taking care of them, or those that are really close to them, are calling to God and asking for help, or asking, Lord, why is this happening? Because when we go through these trials, when we go through these tests, typically that's the first three-letter word we ask. God, why? Why me? And the third is financial. Some we look at are doing very well. I don't know if you know, but there are some that whatever they touch turns to gold. And then when we try to do something, we fail. Or we just can't make it happen. Or we can't make ends meet. Or we're short rent, bills, car payment. Our wealth or lack of. And then we go to the Lord in prayer and we ask, Lord, what do I do? How can I get out of this situation? And God is silent. And when we don't have the answers and we don't hear the answers, how do we respond? The better question is, how should we respond? And I'm not going to tell you that I know the answer, and I'm not going to tell you from up here, well, I know that being in that situation, being in that position is much difficult than me standing up here and telling you. But with the Lord's help today, I'd like to encourage you and encourage me with that. The other portion of scripture I'd like to read, and we'll just do some comparisons. If you turn to Matthew chapter 15, from verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus went out therefrom and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. And he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, It is not good to take away the children's bread and to throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. and her daughter was healed from that very hour. See, here's another scenario of a woman, and this is part of the relation that we talked about, issue of life, where she had a daughter that was demon-possessed, and she knew that God could help her. She wanted God to help her, and she went to him and asked him, "Lord, help me." And he answered her not a word. Think about the timing in your life that God was silent. And I was looking around, and we have some young men here that perhaps have not experienced that. Or if you can say, you know, I haven't experienced God being silent, just wait. It's coming. Because I believe all of us, at one point in time, go through a season when God is silent. Isaiah 65:24 tells us, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Remember, when God is quiet, he is up to something. You see, just because God is quiet in our lives doesn't mean God is absent. Just because God doesn't respond to our questions mean that he doesn't care about you and he doesn't care about me. It doesn't mean that he's going to let us just be on our own. We have many portions of scripture that we are encouraged to trust in God. You know, King David very much was a man after God's own heart. But he too felt the absence of God. If we look at Psalms 28:1, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down in the pit." Psalm 83:1, "O God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. O God, do not be still." Psalm 109:1, "O God of my praise, do not be silent." But he also encourages us in Psalm 46:10 to say, "To be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth." Then the question is, why? Why is God silent? And there are many different answers. Perhaps God is silent because you and God are not in the same circle. Perhaps you stepped out of the circle of where God wants you to be. Now, just because you've done that doesn't mean God walked away from you. Just because you've done that doesn't mean that God is not hearing you and that he doesn't care about you. But he is working behind the scenes to bring you back and to bring me back. Perhaps God is silent because around us we have a lot of noise. You know, we look at the portion of scripture that we read with Elijah. He went up that cave and there was a whirlwind. There was a wind that was going through and God wasn't in there. His voice wasn't there. Perhaps in our lives, there's just a lot of commotion going on. Perhaps there's just a lot of people just talking from one side to the other, and you can't hear what God is saying. Perhaps there's been a catastrophic event in your life, and your focus is on the event. And because your focus is on the event of whatever it is, maybe you lost your job. Maybe there are issues at home. And you can't focus because your focus is on the here and now and right in front of you. Maybe there's a lot of things that are brought to you. Maybe you're under a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. This is the fire. The fire that's keeping you away from focusing on what God wants you to do. Or where he wants you to be. Be still and know. You see, Elijah, when he's finally put all that away from him and he sat down in a quiet place, he heard God talking to him. Perhaps you're not hungry enough for God. We read in the portion of scripture of this lady that knew that God could heal her daughter. She knew where that source was. She knew that he could heal her. And she just didn't turn around and walk away. She was persistent. She came back. Even though he said, you know, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the house of Israel. I'm here to feed them. And yes, Lord, but what drops from the table of the crumbs, even the dogs eat. Even I pick those up. Are we hungry enough? Do we have that passion that we know that God will take care of it, even though we don't hear it, that we go back to him? Lord, help me. Lord, talk to me. Lord, speak to me. I can't hear you right now. In the silent test, is your faith the real deal? Even though God doesn't answer you, there are some people that go through seasons of silence for a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. I'm thinking about my son-in-law. He was praying about my daughter for 2 years until God finally opened the door. But that happens in our lives. It's a season that we go through. The question is, how do we deal with it and what do we do with it? You know, you and I, brothers and sisters, have God's word as encouragement. And a lot of times when we find ourselves caught up into the wind, the fire, the earthquake, and our focus is not on looking at Scripture, if we're not in God's word, if we don't read God's word, and if we don't memorize God's word, because there is a time that in our lives where we maybe won't go back to it, but you know what? We can rely on the promises that Jesus said to us. Did he not say that nothing can separate us from the love of God? Did he not say that? Did he not say that we have the promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us? Even though in times of silence we feel that way. Was he not there when things in our lives were really good and we had these mountaintop experiences? And things were going really great, and you know what? We're happy, and everything's good with the family, and at home, and my job, and the bank account is good. But what happens when we find ourselves in the valleys of life? Do we not think God is there with us? Doesn't Psalm 23 say, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I know. It's hard to believe in a promise when God seems so far away, doesn't it? I think we've all been in that situation before. But if we memorize his word and we memorize his scripture, and perhaps maybe there are some songs that we can memorize that we can rely on, we can go back to and we can lean on. But in all of this, when God is silent, he still wants you to tell him how you feel. He wants to tell you, he wants to hear that you feel that you're being rejected, that you're angry, that you're hurt, that you're grieved. You see, he can take it. He knows our feelings before we come to him. It's not going to surprise him. He knows them. But he still wants you to tell him. He still wants you to talk to him. There's a quote that I came across that says, "When you hear God's silence and feel his absence, trust in his presence." And you see, that's where we fail often. Because we ask God and we talk to God and he's not listening to us. He doesn't hear. We feel he doesn't hear us. And we don't feel that he's near us. And therefore, we don't trust in his presence. And we don't trust that he's going to provide for us. And then we start to take matters into our own hands. Because it's not how we want it. It's not what I want. It's not what I think it should be. Then the question I have for you is, how's that working out for you so far? Were you any better than when you first started, or are you in a worse position? I heard another quote that said, "I've heard God's voice the loudest as I sat with him in silence. As I emptied myself of all the noise around me, I felt his presence more than ever before." If you find yourselves today where God is seemingly silent, don't think that he's not active. Don't think that he's walked away from you. Don't think that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. What God is doing, he's rearranging the stage behind the scenes in your life. Because he knows what you need, not necessarily what you want. And yes, I know that life doesn't make sense all the time. And I know that you might have a season of silent of days and nights, even years. God is with us, and God is active even when God is silent. You've heard the saying, if God brought you through it, he will lead you. I'm sorry, if God brought you to it, he will lead you through it. I'm sure we've all heard that saying before. So this morning, I'd like to encourage you and I, because we often focus on our persecution and our trials and our tests, and not what the Lord has taught us through his word. There will be times that all you have that you can lean on would be his word. And if you're not in his word and don't memorize his word, it's hard to lean on that. There are two things that happen when God is silent. Like Job or David, they were persistent. They pressed on. They pushed. Just like the woman, she didn't take no for an answer because she knew that God would heal her. Heal her son, her child. You'll long for him or seek him and hunger and thirst for him. And perhaps that the sense of his absence will be distressing until the situation is resolved. Do you and I do that when God is silent? Or do we just accept it and move on? Say, oh well. I'd like to close with words of a song that says, when God is silent and we don't know the way before us that we ought to go, when we've attempted to do his will and yet his silence continues still, then it's time to trust. Yes, it's time to remember that the Lord is faithful to his own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again, for his silence never means that we're alone. when God is silent and all seems lost, as o'er the waves our boat is tempest-tossed, when answers fail us and doubts arise, but God seems distant, hid from our eyes, then it's time to trust. Yes, it's time to remember that the Lord is faithful to his own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again, for his silence never means that we're alone. May God bless his word.